శ్రీ సాయి సచ్చరిత్ర ద వండర్ఫుల్ లైఫ్ అండ్ టీచింగ్స్ ఆఫ్ శ్రీ సాయిబాబా చాప్టర్ 18 and 19 హౌ హేమత్ పంత్ వాస్ అక్సెప్టెడ్ అండ్ బ్లెస్డ్ స్టోరీస్ ఆఫ్ మిస్టర్ సాథే అండ్ మిసెస్ దేశ్ముఖ్ ఎంకరేజింగ్ గుడ్ థాట్స్ టు ఫ్రిక్షన్ వెరైటీ ఇన్ ఉపదేశ్ టీచింగ్స్ రిగార్డింగ్ slander and remuneration for labor. In the last two chapters, Hemat Pant described how a rich gentleman aspiring for quick Brahma Jnana was treated by Baba, and now in these two chapters he describes how Hemat Pant himself was accepted and blessed by Baba, how Baba encouraged good thoughts and fructified them, and his teachings regarding self-improvement, slander, and remuneration for labor. Om Shri Sai. Preliminary. It is a well-known fact that Sadhguru looks first to the qualifications of his disciples and then gives them suitable instructions without unsettling their minds in the least and leads them on towards the goal of self-realization. In this respect, some say that what the Sadhguru teaches or instructs should not be divulged to others. They think that their instructions become useless if they are published. This view is not correct. The Sadhguru is like a monsoon cloud. He pours down profusely, that is, scatters widely his nectar-like teachings. These we should enjoy and assimilate to our heart's content and then serve others with them without any reservation. This rule should apply not only to what he teaches in our waking state, but to the vision he gives us in our dreams. To quote an instance, Buddha Kaushik Rishi published his celebrated Ramaraksha Stotra, which he had seen in his dream. Like a loving mother forcing bitter but beneficial medicines down the throat of her children for the sake of their health, Sai Baba imparted spiritual instructions to his devotees. His method was not veiled or secret, but quite open. The devotees who followed his instructions got their object. Sadhgurus like Sai Baba open our eyes of intellect and show us the divine beauty of the self and fulfill our tender longings of devotion. When this is done, our desire for sense objects vanishes. Twin fruits of vivek, that is, discrimination and vairagya, dispassion or non-attachment, come to our hands, and knowledge sprouts up even in the sleep. All this we get when we come into contact with saints, that is, Sadhgurus. Serve them and secure their love. The Lord, who fulfills the desires of his devotees, come to our aid, removes our troubles and sufferings, and makes us happy. This progress or development is entirely due to the help of the Sadhguru, who is regarded as the Lord himself. Therefore, we should always be after the Sadhguru. Hear his stories, fall at his feet and serve him. Now, we come to our main story. Om Shri Sai. Mr. Sathe. There was a gentleman named Mr. Sathe who had attained some publicity many years ago during Crawford regime, which was put down by Lord Rhea, the governor of Mumbai. He suffered severe losses in trade. Other adverse circumstances gave him much trouble and made him sad and dejected. Being restless, he thought of leaving home and going out to a distant place. Man does not generally think of God, but when difficulties and calamities overtake him, he turns to him and prays for relief. If his demerits have come to an end, God arranges his meeting with a saint, who gives him proper directions regarding his welfare. Mr. Sathe had similar experience. His friends advised him to go to Shirdi, where so many people were flocking to get Sai Baba's darshan, for getting peace of mind and the satisfaction of their wants. He liked the idea and at once came to Shirdi in 1917. Seeing Baba's form, which was like eternal Brahma, self-luminous, peerless and pure, his mind lost its restlessness and became calm and composed. He thought that it was the accumulation of merits in his former birth that brought him to the holy feet of Baba. He was a man of strong will. He at once started to make a parayan, that is, study of Guru Charitra. When the reading was finished in the Saptaha, that is 7 days, Baba gave him a vision that night. It was to this effect. Baba with Guru Charitra in his hand was explaining its contents to Mr. Sate, who was sitting in front and listening carefully. When he woke up, he remembered the dream and felt very happy. He thought that it was extremely kind of Baba, who awakens souls like his that are snoring in ignorance and makes them taste the nectar of Guru Charitra. Next day, he informed Kaka Sahib Dikshit of this vision and requested him to consult Sai Baba regarding its meaning or significance. Whether one saptaha, week's reading was sufficient or whether he should begin again, Kaka Sahib Dikshit, when got a suitable opportunity, asked Baba, "Deva, what did you suggest to Mr. Sate by his vision? Whether he should stop or continue the saptaha? He is simple devotee. His desire should be fulfilled." Then Baba replied, "He should make one more saptaha of the book. If the work be studied carefully, the devotee will become pure and will be benefited. The Lord will be pleased and will rescue him from the bondage of the mundane existence." At this time, Hemant Pant was present there. He was shampooing Baba's legs. When he heard Baba's word, he thought in his mind, "What? Mr. Sate read for a week only and got a reward, and I am reading it for 40 years with no results. His 7 days stay here became fruitful, while my 7 years stay, that is between 1910 to 1917, goes for nothing. Like a chatak bird, I am ever waiting for the merciful cloud, that is Baba, to pour its nectar on me and bless me with his instructions." No sooner did this thought cross his mind, Baba knew it then and there. It was the experience of the bhaktas that Baba understood all their thoughts, and that he suppressed the evil thoughts and encouraged the good ones. Reading Hemant Pant's mind, Baba at once asked him to get up, go to Shama, that is mother of Deshpande, get from him rupees 15 as dakshina, sit and chit-chat with him for a while and then return. Mercy dawned in Baba's mind, and so he issued this order, and who could disobey Baba's order? Hemant Pant immediately left the masjid and came to Shama's house. He had just bathed and was wearing a dhotar. He came out and asked Hemant Pant, "How is it that you are here now? It seemed that you have come from the masjid. Why do you look restless and dejected? Why are you alone? Please sit and rest while I shall do my worship and return. In the meanwhile, you please take panbida, that is leaves and betel nuts, etc. Let us then have a pleasant chat." After saying this, he went inside and Hemant Pant sat alone in the veranda. He saw in the window a well-known Marathi book named Nath Bhagavat. This is a commentary by Saint Ekanath on the 11th Skanda, that is chapter of the bigger Sanskrit work, the Bhagavat. At the suggestion or recommendation of Sai Baba, Messrs. Bapu Saheb Jog and Kaka Saheb Dikshit read Bhagavad Gita daily, with its Marathi commentary named Bhavarat Deepika and Dhyaneshwari, that is a dialogue between Krishna and his friend devotee Arjuna, and Nath Bhagavat, a dialogue between Krishna and his servant devotee Uddhava, and also Ekanath's other big work, that is Bhavarat Ramayana. When devotees came to Baba and asked him certain questions, he sometimes answered them in part and asked them to go and listen to the readings of the above-mentioned works, which are the main treatise of Bhagavad Dharma. When the devotees went and listened, they got full and satisfactory replies to their question. Hemant Pant also used to read daily some portions of Nath Bhagavat. That day, he did not complete the daily portion of his reading, but had left it unfinished in order to accompany certain devotees who were going to the masjid. When he took up the book from Shama's windows and cautiously opened it, he found to his surprise that the unfinished portion opened up. He thought that Baba sent him very kindly to Shama's house for enabling him to complete his daily reading. So he went through the unfinished portion and completed it. As soon as this was over, Shama, after doing his worship, came out and the following conversation took place between them. Hemant Pant, I have come with a message from Baba. He has asked me to return with rupees 15 as Dakshina from you. Also to sit with you for a while and have a pleasant chit-chat and then return to the masjid with you. Shama was with surprise. I have no money to give. Take my 15 namaskaras, that is, prostrations in lieu of rupees as Dakshina to Baba. Hemant Pant, all right, your namaskaras are accepted. Now, let us have some chit-chat. Tell me some stories and leelas of Baba, which will destroy our sins. Shama, then sit here for a while. Wonderful is the sport, that is leela of this god Baba. You know it already. I am a village rustic, while you are an enlightened citizen. You have seen some more leelas since you are coming over here. How should I describe them before you? Well, take these leaves, betel nut and chuna and have the panbida. While I go in, dress myself and come out. In a few minutes, Shama came out and sat talking with Hemant Pant. He said, the leela of this god, Baba, is inscrutable. There is no end to his leelas. Who can see them? He plays or sports with his leelas. Still, he is beyond, unaffected by them. What do we rustics know? Why does not Baba himself tell stories? Why does he send learned men like you to fools like me? His ways are inconceivable. I can only say that they are not human. With this preface, Shama added, I now remember a story which I shall relate to you. I know it personally. As a devotee is resolute and determined, so is Baba's immediate response. Sometimes Baba puts the devotees to severe tests and then gives them upadesh, that is instructions. As soon as Hemant Pant heard the word upadesh, as if a flash of lightning crossed through his mind, he at once remembered the story of Mrs. Sate's Guru Charitra reading and thought that Baba might have sent him to Shama in order to give a peace to his restless mind. However, he curbed these feelings and began to listen to Shama's stories. They all showed how kind and affectionate Baba was to his devotees. Hemant Pant began to feel joy on hearing all this. Then Shama began to tell the following story. Om Shri Sai. Mrs. Radhabai Deshmukh. There was an old woman by name Radhabai. She was the mother of one Kashyapa Deshmukh. Hearing Baba's fame, she came to Shirdi with the people of Sangamanar. She took Baba's darshan and was much satisfied. She loved Baba intimately and resolved in her mind that she should accept Baba as her guru and take some upadesh from him. She determined to fast herself unto death so long as Baba did not accept her and give her any upadesh or mantra. She stayed in her lodging and stopped taking any food or water for 3 days. I was frightened by this ordeal of the old woman and interceded with Baba on her behalf. I said, Deva, what is this you have started? You draw so many persons here. You know that old lady. She is very obstinate and depends on you. She has resolved to fast unto death. If you do not accept and instruct her, if anything worse happens, people will blame you and say that Baba did not instruct her and in its consequences, she met her death. So take some mercy on her, bless her and instruct her. On seeing her determination, Baba sent for her and made her change her mind by addressing as follows. O mother, why do you have to subject yourself to unnecessary tortures? You are my mother and I am your child. Take pity on me and hear my thought. I tell you my own story, which if you listen carefully, will do you good. I had a guru. He was a great saint and most merciful. I served him long, very long. Still, he would not blow any mantra into my ear. I had keen desire never to leave him, but to stay with and serve him, and at all costs receive some instructions from him. But he had his own way. He first got my head shaved and asked me for 2 paisa as dakshina. I gave the same at once. You may say that. As my guru was perfect, why should he ask for money and how should he be called desireless? The reply is that he never cared for coins. What had he to do with them? His 2 paisas were number 1, firm faith, and number 2, patience or perseverance. I gave these 2 paisas to him and he was pleased. I resorted to my guru for 12 years. He brought me up. There was no dearth of food and clothing. He was full of love, or say he was love incarnate. How can I describe it? He loved me most. Rare is a guru like him. When I looked at him, he seemed as if he was in deep meditation, and then we both were filled with bliss. Night and day, I gazed at him with no thought of thoughts of hunger and thirst. Without him, I felt restless. I had no other subject to meditate, nor any other thing that my guru to attend. He was my sole refuge. My mind was always fixed on him. This nishtha, that is firm faith, is 1 paisa of dakshina. Saburi, patience or perseverance, is the other paisa. I waited patiently and served my guru. This saburi will ferry you across the sea of this mundane existence. Saburi removes all sins and afflictions, gets rid of calamities in various ways, and casts aside all fear, and ultimately gives you success. Saburi is the mine of virtues, consort of good thought. My guru never expected any other thing from me. He never neglected me but protected me at all times. I lived with him and was sometimes away from him. Still, I never felt the absence of his love. He always protected me by his glance, just as the tortoise feeds her young ones, whether they are near or away from on the other side of the bank, by her loving glances. O mother, my guru never taught me any mantra then. How shall I blow any mantra in your ears? Just remember that guru's tortoise like loving glances gives you happiness. Do not try to get mantra or upadesh from anybody. Make me the sole object of your thoughts and actions, and you will no doubt attain paramartha, that is the spiritual goal of life. Look at me wholeheartedly, and I in turn look at you. Sitting in this masjid, I speak the truth, nothing but the truth. No sadhana or proficiency in the 6 shastras is necessary. Have faith and confidence in your guru. Believe that guru is the sole actor or doer. Blessed is he who knows the greatness of his guru and thinks him to be Hari, Hara and Brahma, that is Trimurti incarnate. Instructed in this way, the old lady was convinced. She bowed to Baba and gave up her fast. Hearing the story carefully and attentively and marking its significance and appropriateness, Hemant Pant was most agreeably surprised. On seeing this wonderful leela of Baba, he was moved from top to toe. He was overflowing with joy. His throat was choked and he was not able to utter a single word. Shyama, on seeing him in this condition, asked him, "What is the matter with you? Why are you silent? How innumerable leelas of Baba shall I describe?" Just at this time, the bell in the masjid began to ring, proclaiming that the noon worship and aarti ceremony had begun. Therefore, Shyama and Hemant Pant hurried to the masjid. Bapu Sahib Jog had just started the worship. Women were up in the masjid and men were standing below in the open courtyard, and they were all singing the aartis in chorus to the accompaniment of drums. Shyama went up, pulling Hemant Pant with him. He sat to the right and Hemant Pant in front of Baba. On seeing them, Baba asked Hemant Pant to give the dakshina brought from Shyama. He replied that Shyama gave namaskaras in lieu of rupees and that he was there in person. Baba said, "All right. Now let me know whether you both had a chit-chat, and if so, tell me all that you talked about." Not minding the sounds of the bell, the drums, and the chorus songs, Hemant Pant was eager to tell what they had talked and started to narrate it. Baba was so anxious to hear, and so he left the bolster and leaned forward. Hemant Pant said all that they talked about was very pleasant, especially the story of the old lady was the most wonderful, and that on hearing it, he thought that his leela was inexplicable and under the guise of that story. He really blessed him. Baba then said, "Wonderful is the story. How were you blessed?" I would like to know everything in detail from you, so tell me all about it. Then Hematpant related in full the story which he had heard a little while before and which had made a lasting impression on his mind. Hearing this, Baba was much pleased and asked him, "Did the story strike you and did you catch its significance?" He replied, "Yes, Baba. The restlessness of my mind has vanished and I have got true peace and rest and come to know the true path." Then Baba spoke as follows, "My method is quite unique. Remember well this one story and it will be very useful. To get the knowledge, realization of the self, dhyana, meditation is necessary. If you practice it continuously, the vrittis, that is, subtle thoughts, will be pacified. Being quite desireless, you should meditate on God, who is in all the creatures, and when the mind is concentrated, the goal will be achieved. Meditate always on my formless nature, which is the knowledge incarnate, consciousness and bliss. If you cannot do this, meditate on my form from top to toe, as you see here night and day. As you go on doing this, your vrittis will be single-pointed and the distinction between the dhyata, that is mediator, and dhyana, that is act of meditation, dhyaya, things meditated upon will be lost, and the meditator will be one with the consciousness and will be merged in the Brahma. The mother tortoise is on one bank of the river and her young ones are on the other. She gives neither milk nor warmth to them. Her mere loving glances give them nutrition. The young ones do nothing but remember, that is, meditate upon their mother. The tortoise glance is to the young ones the only source of subsistence and happiness. Similarly is the relation between the guru and the disciples. When Baba uttered these words, the chorus of the Aarti songs was over and all cried out loudly in unison, "Victory be to our Sadguru, Sai Maharaj, who is pure consciousness, knowledge and bliss." Dear readers, let us imagine that we are at this time standing amongst the crowd in the masjid and let us join them in this Jai Jai Kar. After the Aarti ceremony was over, Prasada was distributed. Bapu Saheb Joe came forward as usual and after saluting Baba gave into his palm a handful of sugar candy. Baba pushed all this into the hands of Hematpant and said to him, "If you take this story to the heart and remember it well, your state will be sweet as a sugar candy. All your desires will be fulfilled and you will be happy." Hematpant bowed down to Baba and implored, "Do favor me like this. Bless and protect me always." Baba replied, "Hear the story, meditate on it and assimilate its spirit. Then you will always remember and meditate on the Lord who will manifest himself to you." Dear readers, Hematpant got prasada of sugar candy and we now get the prasada of sugar candy or nectar of the story. Let us drink it to our heart's content, meditate on it and assimilate it, and be strong and be happy by Baba's grace. Amen. Towards the end of the 19th chapter, Hematpant had dealt with some other matters which are given below. Om Shri Sai. Baba's advice regarding our behavior. The following words of Baba are of general welfare and invaluable. If they are kept in mind and acted upon, they will always do you good. Unless there is some relationship or connection, nobody goes anywhere. If any men or creatures come to you, do not discourteously drive them away, but receive them well and treat them with due respect. Sri Hari, that is God, will be certainly pleased. If you give water to the thirsty, bread to the hungry, clothes to the naked, and your Virandaha to the strangers for resting, Varandaha to the strangers for resting, if anybody wants any money from you and you are not inclined to give, do not give, but do not bark at him like a dog. Let anybody speak hundreds of things against you, do not resent by giving any bitter reply. If you tolerate such things, you will certainly be happy. Let the world go topsy-turvy. You remain where you are. Standing in your own place, look on calmly at the show of all things passing before you. Demolish the wall of difference that separates you from me, and then the road for our meeting will be clear and open. The sense of differentiation as I and thou is the barrier that keeps away the disciples from his masters, and unless that is destroyed, the state of union or atonement is not possible. Allah Malik, that is, God is the sole proprietor. Nobody else is our protector. His method of work is extraordinary, invaluable and inscrutable. He will be done and he will show us the way and satisfy our heart's desire. it is on account of Rinaubhanga, that is former relationship, Rinanubandha, that is former relationship, that we have come together. Let us love and serve each other and be happy. He who attains the supreme goal of life is immortal and happy. All others merely exist, that is, live so long as the breath. Om Shri Sai. Encouraging good thoughts to friction. It is interesting to note how Sai Baba encouraged good thoughts. You have to surrender yourself completely to him with love and devotion, and then you will see how he helps you throughout. Some saints had said that when you get a good thought immediately after awakening from sleep, and if you develop the same afterwards during the day, your intellect will be unfolded and your mind will attain calmness. Hemant Pant wanted to try this. On one Wednesday night before going to bed, he thought, tomorrow is Thursday, an auspicious day, and the place, that is, Shirdi, is so holy. So let me pass the whole day in remembering and celebrating the Ram Naam. And then he slept off. Next morning when he got up, he remembered without any effort the name of Ram and was much pleased. He then, after finishing his morning duties, went to see Baba with flowers. When he left Dikshitwada and was passing by Bhutiwada, present Samadhi Mandir, he heard a beautiful song that was being sung nicely by one Aurangabadkar in the masjid before Baba. The song was Guru Kripanjan Payo Mere Bhai, etc. by Ekanath, in which he says that he got collyrium in the form of his Guru's grace, which opened his vision and made him see Ram. In and out, in sleep, dream and walking state, and everywhere. There were so many other songs, but why was this song particularly chosen by Aurangabadkar, a devotee of Baba? Is this not a curious coincidence arranged by Baba to amplify the determination of Hemant Pant to sing unceasingly Ram Naam during the day? All saints agree and lay stress upon the efficacy of uttering Ram's, that is God's name, in fulfilling the ambition of the bhaktas and in protecting and saving them from all calamities. Variety in Upadesh. Slander condemned. Sai Baba required no special place nor any special time for giving instructions. Whenever any occasion demanded, he gave them freely. Once it so happened that a bhakta of Baba revealed someone behind his back before other people. On leaving aside merits, he dwelt on the faults of his brother and spoke so sarcastically that the hearers were disgusted. Generally, we see that people have a tendency to scandalize others unnecessarily, and this brings on ill feelings. Saints see scandal in another light. They say that there are various ways of cleansing or removing dirt, that is, by means of water and soap, etc. But a scandal monger has got a way of his own. He removes the dirt, that is, faults of others by his tongue. So in a way, he obliges the person whom he reviles. For this, he is to be thanked. Sai Baba had his own method of correcting the scandal monger. He knew by his omniscience what the scandaler had done, and when he met him at noon near the Lendi, Baba pointed out to him a pig that was eating filth near the fence and said to him, behold how, with what relish it is gulping filth. Your conduct is similar. You go on revealing your own brethren to your heart's content. After performing many deeds of merit, you are born as human. And if you act like this, how can Shirdi help you in any way? Needless to say that the bhakta took the lesson to his heart and went away. In this way, Baba went on giving instructions whenever necessary. If these are born in our mind and acted upon, the spiritual goal realization is not far off. There is a proverb which says, if there be my hari, Lord, he will feed me on my cot. This proverb is only true in respect of food and clothing. But if anyone believes this, sits idle and does nothing in spiritual matters, he will be ruined. One has to exert himself to his utmost for attaining self-realization. The more he endeavors, the better for him. Baba said that he was omnipresence, transcending land, air, world, light and heaven, and that he was not localized. To remove the misunderstanding of those who thought that Baba was only his body, 3 cubits and a half in length, he incarnated himself in this form. And if any devotee meditated on him day and night with complete self-surrender, he experienced complete union with him, like sweetness and sugar, waves and seas, eye and its sight. He would want to get rid of the cycle of births and deaths, should lead a righteous life with his mind calm and composed. He should not speak harshly to anyone so as to hurt him. He should always engage himself in good actions, should do his duties and surrender himself, heart and soul to him. He need not then be afraid of anything. He who trusts him entirely hears and expounds his leelas and does not think of anything else is sure to attain self-realization. Baba asked many to remember his name and to surrender to him, but to those who wanted to know who they were, that is, who am I, he advised Shravanan, study and Manan, contemplation. To some he advised remembering God's name, to others hearing his leelas, to some other worship of his feet, to others reading and studying Adhyatma Ramayana, Dhyaneshwari and other sacred scriptures. Some he made sit near his feet, some he sent to Khandoba's temple, and some he advised the repetition of 1000 names of Vishnu, some the study of Chandogya Upanishad and Gita. There were neither any limit nor restriction to his instructions. He gave in person or by visions and dreams to some one addicted to drink. He appeared in his dream, sat on his chest and pressed it and left him after he gave a promise not to touch liquor anymore. To some he explained some mantras like Guru Brahma in dreams. To some devotees who was practicing Hatha Yoga, he sent word that he should leave off Hatha Yoga practice, sit quiet and wait, that is Subari. It is impossible to describe all his ways and methods in ordinary worldly dealings. He set examples by his actions, one of which is given below.
Om Shri Sai.
Renumeration for labor. One day at noon, Baba came near Radha Krishna Mai's house and said, bring me a ladder. Some men brought it and set it against the wall of a house. As directed by Baba, he climbed up on the roof of the Vaman Godkar's house, passed over the roof of Radha Krishna Mai's house and then got down from the other corner. What object Baba had, none could knew. Radha Krishna Mai was at that time shivering with malaria. It may be to drive off that fever that he may have gone up there. Immediately after getting down, Baba paid 2 rupees to the person who brought the ladder. Somebody asked Baba why he paid so much for this. He replied that nobody should take the labor of others in vain. The worker should be paid his dues promptly and liberally. If the principles taught by Baba be followed, that is, if the remuneration for labor be paid promptly and satisfactorily, the laborers will turn out better and both the laborers and their employers will be profited, and there will be no room for lockouts and strikes, no ill feeling between labor and capital. Bow to Sri Sai. Peace be to all.